Well, I hope you were able to grab your worksheet or handout. That's the word I'm looking for. Your handout on the way in. And as we continue through the attributes of God, as we work our way through our study of systematic theology, let's start with a little reminder and then we'll open in a word of prayer. Last week we studied theology proper, the attributes of God, and we'll continue this study for some time, by the way. We'll be setting up camp for a little while, and we're just going to try and cast our gaze in the right direction because of our finitude, because He is infinite. Even any study of God falls far, far, far short of anything that is possibly remotely close to who He is. So we're trying to just throw our gaze in the right direction. For any study of God is incomplete, because obviously we studied last week He is limitless. He is beyond our understanding of perfection. So by definition, perfection is beneath God. And that just blows our mind. In fact, I want to say three words that if you were here last Sunday should hemorrhage a lot of meaning this evening. And that is life. In that He is alive in unlike anything else is alive, and He is self-sustaining, and all life is sustained and held together through Him. Yet, everything is sustained through the self-existing life of God, yet God did what for us? Died. He died. His infinite, limitless nature did not consider it robbery to take the form of what? Man. And to die. Wow. That's just it's just unbelievable to pull in. So we're talking about the life of God, the immutability of God. His not only does He never change, but His plans never change. And the infinity of God. Remember we talked about the chasm that is between man and God, and only He who is equal to God in every way can bridge the gap that is between man and God, which is only Jesus Christ, because all have sinned and fall short. And we talked about how that's the understatement of the ages, of all of eternity, past, present, and future. We just didn't fall short. We needed an infinite, equal partner of the Trinity to bridge that gap. And how Christ could truly say in John 14 that no one can come to the Father except through Me. To those who were here last week, that ought to kind of buckle our knees in worship as we are reminded of those three words, life, immutability, and the infinity of God. And now we will continue our finite study of God with a few more attributes, three more. But remember to bring last week's list and to our understanding with our study tonight, because it will explode in depth and application as we look at the next three. They continue to build upon one another. But before we go any further, we need the help of the Holy Spirit, or I won't even be able to cast us in the right direction. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do ask that Your Spirit would make that which is beyond our grasp understandable and the best that we are able to grasp it. Lord, we do rely completely, not on our training, not on our degrees, and not on our mental capacities, but on Your Holy Spirit who resides within us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let's start with the attributes of God. Our next one that we are going to look at here this evening is the truthfulness of God. I want to define truthfulness for us. This quality makes God to be true in His nature and with reference to His Word. He is true not only in His person, in His personhood that is stamped on the image of man. Not only is this true, but His Word, and more than just this physical, tangible Word, but His spoken Word throughout eternity is 100% 100% true and trustworthy. And we'll say, yeah, we hear this is no big deal. We know that God is true in His nature and that His Word is true in and of itself. But I want you to think of the divineness of this attribute. And I want you to tell me of one living thing, past, present, or future, that was true from beginning to end. And not only true from beginning, from the first day that they drew breath into their lungs and the doctor cut the umbilical cord and said, this is your daughter, this is your son. Not just that which exists within the succession of time, but I'm talking all of eternity, past, present, and future. What is it out there in the past, present, and the future that has been true from beginning to end? And now remember, God in His infinity never had a beginning. He will never have an end. He is infinitely, He has always existed and has always been true. Tell me something that has never lied, never manipulated, has never been inconsistent, who has never held back, and here's something, has not even ever measured His words. Has someone ever asked you a question and you need to say, give me a moment? Because you have to measure what you're about to say. God is so true, He has never measured His words. Let me bring the word truthfulness to another level. God is true in His nature in the sense that He is genuine. He says what He means and He means what He says. Ever been in a relationship where you said, you ought to have known what I meant when I said that? God is true in His Word and that He is genuine. His special revelation, the Word of God, is without error and is absolutely trustworthy. Psalms 33:4 says, for the Word of the Lord is right, it is true, and He is faithful in almost everything He does. Is that what your verse says? In all. And not just all as in we understand all in His infinite, timeless, self-existing self. He is true in all His ways. Young ladies, you will never meet a man that will not lie to you. Isn't that encouraging? I don't care. You look at the most godly man in this room, he has lied. All right? Men, you will never meet a woman who will not manipulate you or mislead you. It is within our nature. Every document you sign has what on the bottom? Small print. Every document you sign has small print. Handshakes mean nothing. Government is corrupt. Every relationship you will ever have is marred not only with the possibility of deceit, but the certainty of deceit on some level. How many want to get marriage counseling from me? But it's true. It's our nature. We are within our nature. On our best day, we measure our words, do we not? We try to pick the right vocabulary words that will fit our own personal agenda on our best day. We are at some level dishonest, yet your God is true. Your God is genuine. He is honest. He is trustworthy. He has never withheld any truth. He doesn't even measure His words. He is truth. And because of this, God deserves more than our devotion. Grab that. Deserves more than our devotion, more than our loyalty, more than our service. For even false gods get that from pagan followers. You can watch any converts or disciples of any religion, and they will give devotion, loyalty, and service. You know what? We need to give our God our trust because He is trustworthy. He is true. By the way, this is the secret to resisting all sin and temptation. We talked about this morning. Sin is a result of not trusting God. Tell me, how is it that we can so easily trust God with our eternity, but not with our present? The secret to resisting temptation in our lives is properly understanding that our God is truth and He is worthy of trust. It is trust that says no to the young man whispering in your ear, God's way is better. It is trust that says no to lying, for His immutable, unchanging, never maneuvering plans are better than ours. It is trust that says yes in difficult times, for God works all things out for good. This is what it means to understand God's truthfulness. It is the key to present sanctification, which is what we studied in some detail this morning. God is truthful. But now I want to move into some really heavy hitters. And I love the application that comes from this. This will have application that will hit you right where you are at in your lives. The eternality of God. This one has some great application when it comes to God's will in our life. For while the definition of eternity means to be outside of time, it directly relates to His creation who works within the concept of time. We are not outside of time. God is outside of time. Allow me to explain this by defining eternality. This quality makes God to be without beginning and without end. God is timeless and He is without the limitation of time. Wouldn't that be a wonderful attribute to have? All the time in the world. You don't look at the clock. The clock doesn't exist. Humans only know and will always experience succession of events. Now let me define succession of events. Past, present, and future. That is what we go through every moment of our lives. Past, present, future. Over and over and over again. For us, though, the present is razor thin. With each millisecond, the present moves through to the future and the past, okay, to the past, and only momentarily do we truly experience the present, and then it's gone. It's just, that's present right there. It's instantly gone. It is now. It is then. No, it's now. Now it's coming. It's gone. It's then. It's now. Present is elusive, and we barely exist in it. Even now, this example is lying in the past. And my next words reside in the future, and it is instantaneously brought to the past with just a millisecond of razor-thin present in our lives. Are you grabbing that? You got that, right? Shake your heads, please. Present is, it's gone. That's gone. It's coming, it's gone. That's what it is. Now, get ready to have your mind blown. Okay? We barely know the present. Grab this, the eternality of God. God exists in one indivisible present. He doesn't know future. He doesn't know past. He is in one indivisible present. If I could take that watch and take that razor thin line of red and fill it all red, God is present. He is as close to Adam in the Garden of Eden right now as He is to us right now. He is with Abraham, who's ready to sacrifice Isaac now, as you are listening to my voice right now. It is in one indivisible present. He is outside of any succession of events. He is outside of our concept of time. He is equally present in the past as He is in the future, therefore only existing in the present. For God, there is no past, there is no future, there is only the present, hence His eternal name, I am. I am existent. I am everywhere. I am outside of time. In an attempt to explain this to us, that in reality still falls way, way short to even beginning to grasp the eternality of God, and that He is in an indivisible present. He said, with the Lord, the day is like how long? 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like what? A day. And even that falls far short of an indivisible present. So in reality, there are no days with God. You think, Lord looks towards Jesus, so what day is it today? We got stuff to do. No! My friends, when we contemplate this reality of our eternal God that only knows an indivisible present, does not this next verse that we've heard a million times, in a moment I'm going to throw a verse up there, This verse that we have heard a million times, understanding that God has no past, He has no future, He is eternally in an indivisible present, He is everywhere, at every time, in any place, whether it be on a calendar, on a clock, or in a demographic or geographic location. Allow this to ring true. Therefore, do not worry about what? Tomorrow. You're immutable, infinite, limitless, trustworthy, timeless. God is already there. He's in you tomorrow. He's waiting for you. He's been there. He's done that. He's conquered that. Sometimes Amy will say, text me when you get there so I know that you're there and I can feel safe. Child of God, we have been texted. God is already in your tomorrow. And you are safe. That brings up a huge application. While God is outside of time in an indivisible present, how many have grabbed that? Indivisible present. That's outside of our understanding because we live within a succession of events, past, present, future. He does not. Now here's where some huge, huge application. So if you're like, oh, this is just philosophical stimulant. No, there's application to this. Well, God is outside of time in an indivisible present. He does observe time in His dealings with man and carrying out His plan with man. God is sensitive to our restrictions of time as He is the creation of it, as He has created it. You know what this means? It means that God allows you enough time to do His will. While He is outside of time, you are not outside of His time, and He is sensitive to our restrictions of time. God will allow you enough time to do His will. He understands our restrictions of time and never asks from us more than what His creation of succession of events will allow in our lives. You know what this means? This is what it means. You can see some application going to begin to fall into your life. And this is an example that will hit each and every one of us in this room. And here it is. How many ever feel like your life is way too busy? Anyone at all? Is anyone with me today? Are you in the present? No, you're not. It's gone. Your God is in the present. I want you to grab this. You feel busy? Your God understands your restriction of time, even though He is outside of it, which tells us this certainty, and this is huge, to our present sanctification. All right? And our pursuit of His will, which, by the way, His will for us is not a location, it's not a demographic or an occupation. God's will for us, class, we've talked about this a million times, is what? Obedience. That's God's will for us. So when we grab the reality that God is sensitive to our time restrictions, here's the application. What crowds us for time are those things which we take on that are in addition to His will. Wow. Because God will never ask from Rob, He will never ask from Mike, He will never ask from Grandpa, He will never ask from Erica more than what time will allow in their lives. Let me say that again. What crowds us for time, and we've already said all of us feel this. All of us do. What crowds us for time are those things that we take on that are in addition to His will. Now, God will never ask us to do more than what time allows, since He is the creator of both time and His will. Wow. Now, that does not mean additions to His will are all sin. That doesn't mean that additions to His will, to the will of God, are sin. I want you to hear that. Some of us may be very, very busy and enjoy some of it. So additions to the will of God are not sin, of course, unless they are unbiblical. But that additions to God's will are what are causing us to be too busy. The only time additions to God's will are wrong is if they replace what God's will is for our lives. Therefore, there must be discretion that enters into our understanding of God's will in our lives. If we want to make a decision as to what we should or should not do in our lives, we should look at what Christ expects from us and calls us to do in our life, and then make a decision that will not interfere with the will of God and what He has for us, which, by the way, is obedience. Let me give you a practical example of this. I know that it is God's will for you, and I know that it's God's will for me because He wrote it in His Word on a very practical level, that we should not habitually miss church. We should not habitually miss church. Now, I want you to know that church is not a prison in any way. And you should not be here because you're motivated out of guilt, but out of endless joy. It's okay to miss church from time to time, but not habitually. The missing of church ought to be an exception in your life, not the standard of your life. Are you following me, my friends? No one. Good. I know that it's God's will for me not to habitually miss church because Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Now I'm telling you, brothers and sisters in Christ, do not what? Forsake the what? The assembly of yourselves by yourself in your car with your radio playing." Is that what it says? Your assembling of yourselves together. Because God's will for you is not to walk alone in this thing called Christianity. Now, because I know this is God's will, therefore I must say no to anything that would habitually pull me away from church. Now, if it is in my power to do so. Sometimes work calls and says, "We need you to go. We need you to be here." And that is outside of your control. This is not a guilt trip. Sometimes your health is going to prohibit you from coming to church on a regular basis. And we want to pray for you. And if you got a cold, stay home. It's not what we're talking about here. But I must say no to anything that will cause me to marginalize or habitually cause me not to worship with the bride of Christ. For this would be an addition to His will. And anything that is an addition to His will in my life should be treated as optional and dispensable in my life. Do you see how simple the Word of God can make life and how it can assist us in keeping our lives less stressful? Here's a question for you. Do you really think your level of busyness is because God is insensitive to your restrictions of time? Or is it because we have added so much in addition to His will? Wow. Sometimes the most healthy thing you can do or say is no to the additions of God's will in your life. If you are too busy to serve God, you have too many additions to His will. And you're going to have to find that out in your own life by searching the Word of God. It's amazing how the eternality of God so practically plays into our everyday decisions. But our God is outside of time, yet He is sensitive to our limitations of it. Last one I think is really super cool. We'll wrap it up with this third one. The immensity of God. Immensity of God. The definition of this quality makes God to be without measure, without measurable dimensions. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, I love that verse, I'll read it in a little bit. God's nature is immeasurable. He cannot be contained within the universe. Grab that. He is immeasurable. Not only is He infinite, limitless, but He is without measurable dimension. He cannot be contained. Now I want you to grab that concept. God is so transcendent, so immense in His nature that He cannot be measured. Now there's a question, and I want to bring this question up. Have you ever asked yourself, how big is the universe? And why is it this big? Why is it that what we know about the universe is so immense? And then We can talk about black matter and wormholes, things I'm not going to begin to pretend that I understand, because I don't. And guess what? From what I do read in my limited understanding, even the greatest minds in the world don't know what is all there, or what's on the other side, or where it leads, and how much is there. But the question is, why is our known universe so big? Psalms 19:1 says, the heavens, what do the heavens do? Declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of the hands. 1 Kings 8:27 says this, the heavens, even the highest heaven, cannot contain you, O God. The Bibles tell us that the heavens declare the glory, the immense nature of God. The heavens declare, the solar systems scream, the starlight in out in space light the way to an immense and transcendent creator that exists. The expanse of the universe is a reflection of the immensity of the one who created it. That's why it's so big. It's why it almost appears to be infinite. Well, clearly limited, because we are in a finite world. My friends, I would submit to you tonight that the universe is so immense, so vast, because it reflects the infinite, limitless, immense nature of our God. I want you to watch this video that is going to fail miserably. But as you watch it, just allow yourself to see how small. Small is not a good enough word. How, give me some words. Tiny, immeasurable. You're not even dust in the wind. You're not dust on that dust. I want you to get just a glimpse of the immensity of the universe. And while you see the immensity of the universe, remember 1 Kings 8:27, even the highest heavens cannot contain the limitless, immense nature of our God. And the immensity of about you're about to see is but a pale reflection of an immense creator. Enjoy this. Your God is infinitely greater than what you just saw. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. What you just saw is so large because it is a reflection of how large your God is. Even the highest heavens cannot contain you. The known universe reflects the immensity of your God. Now allow that to marinate in silence for just a moment, because we're going to close. And I want you to think how mind-bogglingly, that's a word, huge He is. In an indivisible present. He's in you tomorrow. He's awaiting your home in glory. He's chosen you before the foundations of the world. He is genuine. He is trustworthy. He does not measure His words. And the heavens cannot contain Him. Now grab this. Yet, He lives inside you. What? He takes up residency in the dust on the dust on the dust on the dust of the dust of the dust of the dust, infinity in us. I want you to take the eternal, timeless, immense nature of God, greater than the vastness of the universe, and allow it to blow your mind. And then hear a verse that you have heard a million times and see it for the first time. Your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, who is what? In you. That you've received from this transcendent, limitless God. That timeless, immense, immutable God that is greater than the universe is in you. Should that not cause us to tremble? Should that not cause us to weep for joy? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Oh, great and wondrous God, and because of that, who in the world should I fear? No one. Not even tomorrow. Because he's bored with it. He's been there, he's done that. This is your God. And the more you know about him, the more you value him. Hopefully in this limitless, cast our gaze hopefully in the right direction. We'll begin to well up an understanding of God and how he isn't something we shove into the extracurricular time slots of our lives. He is truthful. He is eternal. And he is immense. He is bigger, infinitely larger than any problem you could ever have. Now, meditate on the significance of these three words. Truthful, eternal, immensity without measure. And listen to this verse. Now he who is able to do immeasurably more. There's that word. Immeasurably more. Than we can ask or even what? Imagine! Resides in us. Do you understand now why worry is a sin? Why anxiety? And while I know we struggle at it, just bear with me. Anxiety oftentimes has to do with not knowing our God. Immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. According to his power. And how great is that power? At work within us. This is your God. Shall we not value him? Shall we not pursue him? Shall we not rejoice with our positional sanctification and our ultimate sanctification and feel driven and compelled to our present sanctification to be more like him? This is our God, and this is only six of his attributes. And he has a limitless amount. How many are thankful? We're not going to cover them in this series. This is your God. The highest heavens cannot contain him. Yet you are his temple. In an indivisible present, don't worry about tomorrow. And in a world that has fine print on everything, God speaks in big, bold words. This is our God. How great is our God? Gracious Heavenly Father, when we cast our eyes on you, we are reminded of who we are and how easy it ought to be to trust you. We thank you that you are true, that you are eternal, and that you are immense. May it change the way we pursue you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, who lives within us, we pray. Amen. I love you guys. Have a wonderful week. Pursue your God.